Okay, let's turn again to John's Gospel, chapter 10. Beginning in verse 11, let's hear the word of God. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling is he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Heavenly Father, we ask once again your blessing on this time to open your word. I ask that you'll help me as I seek to break this word properly. Lord God, that it'd be edifying to the people and glorifying to your name. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate the scripture, that you'll open hearts and minds to receive it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there comes a time in most people's lives as they're growing or whatever, that they feel the necessity to look for some employment. And the job that they look for could be anywhere. They might find it in a manufacturing facility, or they might find it in the service industry. They may choose to pursue one of the trades, or they might find work in a profession. The motivation that they have for looking for any job in any of those things, fields, it might vary, but there's always this one constant. You want to get paid. They land a job, and for some, and I might say for a good majority of people who are in the marketplace, in the workplace, the pay is where their relationship with their employer stops. There is no commitment by most employees to the owner's vision or the owner's ideals. It's, I want all I can get, and I want to do as little as possible to get it, is the mindset of many people. The preacher told us in Ecclesiastes 9 that whatever our hand finds to do, that we should do it with all our might. That means we should put ourselves into the work, whatever work we find ourselves in. That we not look at it as mere drudgery, but as a mission, as a ministry. Because not only do we work for the employer, we work for God. And so we pursue those things that way. Still, it's a very popular mindset among many, many people in the workplace that, you know what, I'm not going to commit to this. I'm not going to bear any extra responsibility. This job goes away, I'll just go get another one. There's that lack of commitment there. It is a rare person indeed who views his job as if he were one of the owners, that he labored for it as though he was, you know, working for himself. And it benefits the owner of the company. Now Jesus, again, is in this metaphor about shepherds and sheep. And this is a field of, this is an enterprise. This is a place of work. But he makes it perfectly clear to us over and again that he is here about his Father's business. Jesus is committed to the work. He's committed to the ideals of his Father. He's here to tend to his flock as the good shepherd. And he was dedicated to seeing that his Father's goals are accomplished. And the day would come when, as a part of that accomplishment, he would obediently lay down his life for the sheep. As Jesus has been in this now lengthy discourse with the Pharisees, he hasn't been shy about his perspective of them. He said he's called them strangers. Why were they strangers? Because the sheep didn't know them. The sheep didn't know who these people were, in a spiritual sense. He's called them thieves because they wanted to possess what was not rightly theirs. And they were perfectly happy to try anything available to them so that they could obtain possession. And now he refers to them as hirelings, hired hands. People who are on board for a paycheck. They have really no heart for the people. Their desire is control. Their desire is to lord it over them if they would. But their desire is to get paid. And they're there for the purpose of wages and maybe some acclaim if they can get that. Maybe both. But Jesus makes it clear that he is the good shepherd. He's not a hireling. And he's there dedicated to his calling. Even, again, to the point of giving his own life for the sheep. The hireling, not so much. A hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. That means he runs away, not that the sheep had fleas. The hireling's concern is for himself. When the hireling is out in the field with the flock, he sees danger coming. And he says, that's not for me, and leaves. And says he's out of it. Self-preservation is what he is all about. Now, while Jesus is making this point, specifically against the hireling, against the hired hand, it's obvious that this can apply to every living person. We like to be, you know, we focus a little bit on our self-preservation. We want to be safe. And since Adam's fall, and with that fall, the resulting death sentence, men have constantly sought for ways to avoid it. They want to preserve their life. We want to. We get sick, we look for ways to get better. That's the smart thing to do. That's the natural thing to do. Jesus is not saying self-preservation is a bad thing. It's just getting in the priority, the right priority. Fact is, most people can't imagine a life that would go on without us in this earth. Because so many people look at themselves as the all in all. They say, you know, if I pass from this world, how can the world possibly go on? But it always has. And it always will. So it goes deeper. We need to be thankful to the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who so graciously gave up his life, had no concern for self-preservation, so that the souls of his sheep might never die. And that's the thing. We never want to forget. We never die. We never die. Bodies succumb to the curse. We who inhabit the body never die. We go on. The hireling that Jesus is talking about had a job. What was his job? He wasn't the shepherd, but he was out there helping the shepherd. His job was to be out there to keep an eye on the sheep and to watch for the predator, to watch for the wolf. And the thing was, he wouldn't do it. The hireling wouldn't do it. He saw the wolf come and he says, I'm out of here. You sheep are on your own. Best to you. So the wolf comes in and he catches some. And he scatters some. And the hireling runs away because he doesn't care. The hired hand doesn't give a hoot. We need to be careful. I probably don't even need to say it, but I'll say it anyway. If you spend a lot of time listening to so-called Christian radio, you're going to hear a lot of stuff that's not Christian. If you find yourself becoming a follower of Joyce Meyer, get away from Joyce Meyer. She's not a shepherd. She's a hireling and a heretic at that. You like Beth Moore? She's probably got a pleasant personality, but don't listen to her theology because she'll drag you to hell. Maybe you're enamored with Joseph Prince. Dude's ugly. I mean, I'm sorry. Nobody can help how they look. You know, I'm not that attractive. But especially since all my hair is going away. But Joseph Prince. He quotes scripture to you. He'll tell you, I know what the scripture says, but the Holy Spirit will never convict you of sin. So he elevates his word above the word of God. He's a wolf. Don't be falling for the stuff that he says. And I could go down through a whole list, and many of them, some of these guys you may know that I don't. You don't pay attention to them. Probably. stepping in it now, but Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson and the Christian Broadcasting Network, the 700 Club. Pat Robertson's a Looney Tune. Pat Robertson is not a sound gospel preacher. Don't get involved with them. Don't get sucked into their thing. They're wolves. And the wolves come in, it says, and the wolves catch some of the sheep. Now understand this, if they're sheep indeed, they won't be caught for long. They will find a means of escape because the good shepherd doesn't let anything take his sheep away from him. But there are times when they can stir a fuss. And for a moment in time, people are confused. And they react. But the good shepherd keeps his sheep. It's actually an unsettling situation for sheep who are under the care of a hireling because they can't be sure of him. He's happy-go-lucky today. He's patting me on the back. He's telling me how great things are. But when times get tough, when the evil one comes to attack, he may take off and say, I don't need to be bothered with this. So how can they be sure of him? Jesus wastes no time in making sure that we're reminded again and again and again that he is the good shepherd. Run to him. Understand, he's not letting you go. He's not serving you up as a leg of lamb to a wolf. He's protecting his sheep. He's keeping his sheep. He knows his sheep. You may be going through life and someday you say, you know what, I don't really feel too much like a sheep today. My day was just kind of tough. You know, today I was just thinking all kinds of awful things. And you know, I said some harsh things to some people today. And I said some harsh things to some people who didn't hear me say them. So today I'm not feeling too much like a sheep. Yet the good shepherd knows his sheep and he still says, yeah, you know, sometimes sheep are stupid. He says, I don't care how you feel. This is the way it is. He's the polar opposite to the stranger. The good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows the name of each one. And he knows the nature of each one. You know, as living human beings, we're all sinners. But we don't all have the same personalities. Some of us have different natures in that regard. And Jesus knows his sheep. He knows the sheep that may wake up on the wrong side of the bed on a daily basis, you know, comes greets the morning in a very curmudgeonly kind of a way. And he says, good morning, sheep. And he takes his rod and taps you on the head and says, wake up. No curmudgeons in the kingdom of God. He knows some of his sheep tend to be a little melancholy. And he reminds them that you have the joy of the Lord within you if the Holy Spirit lives with you. He knows his sheep by name and by nature. And his sheep know him. See, that's the deal. Even if you're having a bad day, even if you're just, you know, getting out of bed sinning and you're sinning all day long, which you ought not be doing. But even if that day happens and you say, I don't feel so sheepy today, you, as a sheep, still remember the Good Shepherd because he won't let you forget. So contrary to what Joseph Prince says, the Holy Spirit will convict you and cause you to seek forgiveness. The sheep know him. The sheep love him. And the sheep trust him. God has never led his sheep astray. They can trust him. There is an experience between the good shepherd and his flock that runs deep. He said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. That word, ginosko, is experiential knowledge. It's experiential knowledge. It's not something you learned in a book somewhere. It's something that you've tasted. You've actually had communion with Almighty God. In worship, in prayer, in the sacraments, you know him, and he knows you. Now, our relationship with the Good Shepherd is not identical. It's not exactly the same as the Lord Jesus has with his Father. But we see that picture, and that's what we long for. We see it, and we say, Lord, I don't know. If my Father said to me, you need to die for a bunch of people that hate you, I'd have to say, Dad, you won't think that went over. But that's not the relationship between Jesus and the Father. Out of love, Christ gives his life for us. Jesus continues disturbing his audience. If they are understanding his parable at all, this is going to bug them. Because he says, I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. That says to them, he's not just talking about Israel. And for the Pharisees, for the Jews in general, that's unheard of. Because they are the chosen ones. They're God's people. How can this man who is talking to us possibly have a flock in a fold that is not a part of the house of Israel? And yet Jesus says that's the truth. To hear him say that means it's not going to be Israel alone. And this passage should help you as you think about verses that people tend to throw up and say, well, John's throwing John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. If you can remember back to when we were going through that chapter, we remember the context. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a devout Jew. And he blows Nicodemus' mind. God so loved the world. How could God love the world? No, God loves Israel. God loves Israel. And God loves the members of the Gentile world too, that are part of his flock. He says, Christ, who is the good shepherd, leads one flock. There is not a flock of the house of Israel and a flock of the Gentiles. One flock. One flock. And one shepherd. That's disturbing to them. Possibly not so much to us. Because, hey, we're Gentiles. We grew up Gentiles. We don't have the same connection, necessarily, that the Jewish people had. But it's true nonetheless. Christ has one flock made up of people from all nations, all tribes, all ethnicities. And the Pharisees were never going to understand that, ever. It says, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. This entire flock, this church, is redeemed by Christ's death. A death that he willingly chose. The Father said, this is what needs to be done. Jesus says, I'll do it. It's part of the plan. I am genuinely afraid that sometimes we hear this truth so often that we become numb to it. We hear that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and it rolls off like so much nothing. But it's everything. Jesus did this willingly. He lived in a state of glory that we can't comprehend. He willingly accepted a cloak of flesh to live in this world and to be abused by his creatures and die. But he assures us of this thing. He says, I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. They wanted to kill Jesus, but they couldn't. As he hung on the cross, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he died. He died on his timetable, exactly when he wanted to. And the better news is that the death didn't last long. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. No No man took his life. And certainly no man could give him back his life. This is astounding news, man. He made himself live. He allowed himself to die, and then he made himself live again. For you. For his flock. And if you're needing something to be thankful for this coming Thanksgiving, you can start there. Let's pray.